This is The Drive with Josh Graham Podcast. Tune into The Drive weekday afternoons 3 to 7 on Sports Hub Triad.
Now that Cam Newton is a free agent, he can field offers with no involvement from the Carolina Panthers. So I've assembled the complete market for Cam. I've been thinking about this all day. We've been talking about potential landing spots for Cam the last month now. This includes three places he could start, three places that would love to have him as a backup, three places that seem like a fit but just aren't, plus one complete wild card. So that's seven places Cam could end up, three that you might think could be a fit but aren't. And I think we should start with the most mutually beneficial situation. That's the Los Angeles Chargers. We've been on this very early on. I got a text from somebody who's well-connected in the NFL when everybody was at the Combine in Indianapolis, and it was simply, the Chargers are interested in Cam. It seems to be a fit there. If they don't get Brady, it's gonna be Cam. And then the day Tom Brady decided to sign with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, that late afternoon when that happened, I got a text message from that person. I hadn't heard from him since the Combine, and the message simply read, Chargers, all caps. Chargers, all caps. As if to say that Cam was going to be an LA Charger. It is the perfect football fit for both Cam and the Chargers. If he plays there and he is healthy, talking about the shoulder, talking about the foot, I get it's a big what if, but he passed a physical earlier this week. The Chargers become a team that could compete in the postseason. Remember, there's an extra playoff spot in both the AFC and NFC this year. So I think the Chargers could be there. Think about this. Cam, he has struggled to be protected, and the Chargers, they picked up Trey Turner, who I know is a close friend with Cam. One of the closest people to Cam in that locker room was Trey Turner the last handful of years. And Brian Bulaga, the great right tackle for the Green Bay Packers, the Chargers brought him in. So this is the best line the Chargers have had in a while, so it could protect Cam. And in terms of weapons, man, the weapons that the Chargers have right now, better than anything he's had in Carolina. I'd go as far to say that. With Eckler, you're throwing the ball to Keenan Allen from Greensboro. I really like what the Chargers have in terms of weapons. Then in terms of a lifestyle fit, they're trying to sell tickets. Cam is the most polarizing quarterback you can get. He's a legitimate star. He's transcendent. Outside the football community, he can bring in more people to your new stadium. It just seems too perfect for the Chargers to say, we're just going to go with Tyrod Taylor. As soon as I saw that tweet last Wednesday or Thursday, I thought, oh, this is the Chargers' way to communicate to the Panthers, we're not going to trade you anything for Cam. We know that you're going to cut him. We're not going to trade you anything. We're just going to go with Tyrod Taylor. Please. You could still draft your quarterback and sell the future, likely with Justin Herbert being available at number 6. That's where Mel Kiper has Herbert mocked to go in his mock draft 3.0 that was released yesterday. You can sell the future and also still compete this year. It's a win-win as you try to transition into a new stadium. So the Chargers are the obvious fit. I still think that's going to happen. That's the prediction I've had all along. It's based on sourcing. It's based on common sense. It's based on just general analysis, what Cam might want and what the Chargers need. The Miami Dolphins, that's another team I think he could start for this year. Miami, they were on the uptick at the end of last year. More wins than losses the final month of the year. They won in New England the last regular season game. You have a first-year coach in Brian Flores going into year two. They're likely, much like the Chargers, going to be drafting a quarterback in the first 5 or 6 picks. Tua Tagovailoa, you want that guy to be your quarterback. However, I don't think the ideal plan for him, as great as those videos this week looked, with him dropping back to pass and working around the cones, You don't want him to play this year if you had the ideal circumstance. So it's either Ryan Fitzpatrick or Cam Newton. And if it's me, I'd probably want to play Cam over Fitzpatrick. You might think, oh, Josh, you're trying to tank. For what? You already got a pick that's likely going to be good enough for you to land a franchise quarterback. So Miami, I think they get the quarterback, and I think Cam Newton would be a great option to take another step from the 5 wins they had last year and the great final month and build on top of that to have further success. It's also a lifestyle fit for Cam, and if Cam's trying to choose between options, no state income tax in the state of Florida, a huge thumbs up. Staying in the state of Florida, Jacksonville. He would start there, but I'd stay away if I was Cam. Jacksonville, they don't have any weapons. They're trying to tank. I don't like what the coaching staff has done. That's a staff that I think was only kept around because they're tanking. I think they're going to do the full reboot after this season ends. Jacksonville might be the worst team in the NFL. So if I'm Cam, even though I might get a chance to start in Jacksonville, I stay away there. Those are the three places I could see Cam Newton starting for if he gets a contract offer. Now for the three teams that I think would be okay positions, secondary market positions for Cam to be a backup quarterback. The New York Giants. Dave Gettleman, he gets the rap for every single star Panther, beloved Panther, hating his guts. Josh Norman, Steve Smith. You go down the list. Thomas Davis, Greg Olsen, they felt like they were being... he was ruffling the feathers and rubbing them the wrong way. They felt they were being screwed with a little bit, that they were just going to be cut at the earliest convenience for Gettleman. Cam never had an issue with Gettleman. That's my understanding. So if that relationship is still solid, I could see Gettleman thinking, okay, Daniel Jones wasn't as great as we thought he would be last year. We got a new head coach. The new head coach is talking about Daniel Jones in very non-committal terms. Gettleman has reiterated that same language. I think right now the other quarterback they have on the roster is from Monmouth. So Cam could be somebody to push Jones if he's not completely ready to be a franchise quarterback and start, or he's 30 years old. Have the two compete. If Cam wins out, I'm sure somebody would take Daniel Jones off your hands the same way the Miami Dolphins traded to bring Josh Rosen in last year. So the Giants, I wouldn't rule that out. The Tennessee Titans, their backup is from Toledo. I don't even know who this guy is, and I follow college football closely. Yes, you gave Ryan Tannehill the $118 million contract extension. But let's not forget the situation Tannehill was brought into when Tennessee decided they needed somebody next to Marcus Mariota. Marcus Mariota led Tennessee to a playoff win in Kansas City coming from behind. Then they decided to bring Tannehill in. They decided competition is good. Now, wouldn't the same competition be warranted here for Tannehill? Unless you're completely convinced Tannehill is going to be a franchise quarterback for the next 3 or 4 years, why not bring in Cam and see if it warrants the same results that just led you to get to the AFC Championship game? If they thought a few years ago, oh, Mariota, he's good enough to get us to the postseason, to get us to the second round, then they wouldn't have gotten to the AFC Championship game or the playoffs last year with Tannehill at the controls. So you got a good roster. Cam, I look at that and say, I could compete with Tannehill. And I think the Titans have enough cap space they could secure him as well. And these are, again, teams that could potentially bring him in to be a backup quarterback, not a starter. The third team is the Seattle Seahawks. I look across the entire NFL, and Seattle is the only team that doesn't actually have a second quarterback signed on the roster. Did you know this, Robert? Like, Russell Wilson, he's in place. It's certainly going to be a backup spot for Cam, but system-wise, running quarterback, reunited with Greg Olsen, that might be the place to go. They just don't have a backup quarterback on the roster. So I'm sure Pete Carroll in Seattle is going to make that phone call. I don't know if Cam would take it, but that's a place that would love to have Cam as a backup. Seattle joining Tennessee and the New York Giants. Now, here are three popular destinations that just aren't fits for Cam. I keep hearing New England. Stop. New England in their history has had one start from a black quarterback ever. Now, that's not a deciding piece of it, but culturally speaking, I don't know if they're going to respond well to the guy with the suits if Cam goes to Foxborough. They just signed Brian Hoyer. This is a team that might be tanking. Tom Brady was complaining about the weapons, and that's Tom bleeping Brady. How do you think Cam's going to do with those weapons? Probably not great. Washington, they just acquired Kyle Allen. Alex Smith's contract, you can't move that. He's injured. So you have Alex Smith already on the roster, and that's going to be a fat cap hit this year. You have Dwayne Haskins, who you took in the first round a year ago, and Kyle Allen, who was just traded to Washington in exchange for draft capital. Four quarterbacks, that's just too many quarterbacks. It's not a fit. And then the Chicago Bears. This seems like a destination that would fit, right? It just isn't, though. It's clear Chicago doesn't want to admit they were wrong about Mitchell Trubisky. They're going to try and make that work. Also, look at where all these assistant coaches are from. You look at the assistants that Matt Nagy has. This laser guy, DeFilippo. These are guys who once coached Nick Foles in Philadelphia. So they like Nick Foles. They believe Nick Foles can work if it's not Trubisky. So Cam going in there is already going to be working at a disadvantage, especially if there's no OTAs because of the coronavirus. And just going into camp, they already want Trubisky to be the guy. And if not, they like Nick Foles. So there's no place for Cam. Here's the wild card, though, Robert, and you let me know if I'm absolutely insane for believing this. I think the Pittsburgh Steelers could get on the phone and call Cam. Pittsburgh, they have Ben Roethlisberger, but are we sure Ben is going to be right this year? Are we sure of that? Pittsburgh, this is a team that at one point last year was 8-5. 8-5 with a quarterback named Duck. Right? 8-5 team. Good young defense. Led the league in sacks last year and takeaways. I love this Pittsburgh defense. I think they have great weapons. So why would you limit yourself to potentially having a season like last year if Cam is right there? Like, Ben, of course, is going to be the guy. But if Ben's not able to do it, well, Cam is somebody who could be your quarterback for the next 3 or 4 years. Cam's a guy who could get to 34, 35, and he's going to be better than Storm Duck. And he's going to be better, Duck Hodges, and he's going to be a lot better. I don't know why I made Duck Hodges a Tar Heel baseball player, but I just did that. Or a Tar Heel football player, but I just did that. And I think Cam would be more productive than Mason Rudolph. So am I crazy to think Pittsburgh Steelers as well?
They don't have a lot of cap space. They're going to have around $6 million after signing their rookies. So if Cam would want to take a pay cut, maybe make $6 million, then yeah, I could see that.
So there's the complete market. Anybody else I'm forgetting? The Chargers, that's the most mutually beneficial situation. The Dolphins, he could start there. The Jaguars, he could start there. But I don't think Cam should go to the Jaguars, even if he's given an offer. Three teams that would love to have him as a backup. Seattle, the only team that doesn't have a backup quarterback. Tennessee, somebody to push Tannehill the same way Tannehill pushed Mariota. The Giants, Gettleman and Cam actually had a decent relationship, and they're non-committal to Daniel Jones. The Patriots, the Redskins, Chicago, those aren't fits, but they may seem like it at the top of your head. And then the Pittsburgh Steelers. Out of those seven teams, do you think we have Cam's destination pinpointed here? One of those seven going to be the team.
It's a little bit less than a fourth of the league, so I would hope that we have pinpointed it down.
We're doing very good. How about we just do the segment where we name every single team?
Okay, can I start?
Yeah.
Lions, Bears, Packers.
We already got the Bears.
Vikings.
That's tough with Cousins.
Though. Aaron's Chiefs. Nope. Chargers. Nope. Broncos.
Well, we already did the Chargers.
I'm just naming all of them.
Got it.
Raiders, Seahawks.
We're good at this game.
Cardinals.
Mm-hmm. A prominent media member is already calling for Christian McCaffrey to hold out if he doesn't get an extension this offseason. How should the Panthers respond? That's next on The Drive.
Josh Graham loves to talk sports. He also loves writing sports poetry, but he can't think of a rhyme for puck.
Oh, I get it.
You're on The Drive with Josh Graham.
Now being joined in studio by our good friend B-Dot. And me and BDOT, we've been in touch with each other. He's been a fan of the Sports Hub Time Machine segments that we've done.
Yes.
Going back in time to some great moments in sports history and just figuring out what this show would have sounded like at that time. We've been on the air the last few years, but we haven't been on the air for all of sports history, or have we? BDOT, how have you, where were you in March of 1993?
I was about to finish eighth grade.
Oh, man, that sounds like a great time.
Yeah. I was about to finish eighth grade, but on that exact day, I was at a church event, and I had to hear the game through the radio. It super sucked.
You were listening to Woody's call?
I believe I was. I would have had to been. Absolutely.
That's exciting stuff.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Let's figure out how this radio show would have sounded back in 93 as Dean Smith and his Tar Heels won his second career national championship.
It doesn't matter when you get here, just what time.
Back it up.
Let's go.
What would it sound like if The Drive with Josh Graham were here for some of the greatest moments in sports history? Today, we find out.
Yeah!
Let's fire up the Sports Hub Time Machine.
Where's everybody going?
To Gobbler's Knob. It's Groundhog Day.
Have you ever heard the expression, the customer is always right? Here I am.
1993.
Weber brings it into the front court. They have no timeouts remaining.
Oh, he causes too many timeouts. That's a technical foul.
And how about Chris Weber? Well, what must be running through that young man's mind right now? The Fab Five comes up short again. There you have it. North Carolina is the 1993 national champion.
We're in here with BDOT. He's got his Tar Heel head on.
Let's go!
His Tar Heels just won the national championship.
Yes, sir, buddy!
It's something about New Orleans. The Tar Heels have only won national championships, it seems, in New Orleans.
Yeah.
Man!
That's the new Dean Dome. It's no longer the Superdome. We're calling it the Dean Dome South.
What's worse, the officials missing Chris Weber's travel or not knowing he didn't have a timeout left?
Has to be the referees. You can miss so many things. And Chris Weber said that he heard somebody from the sideline telling him to scream timeout. So I want to know who it is. We need pictures of everybody after the locker room, because whoever had a busted face, that's who told Chris Weber to call timeout. It had to be. He had to punch him in the face as soon as he got back there. Has to be the referees. We pay you to call the games, and you blew it. It was a travel. I about threw my gin and juice all over the living room.
Do you think you could put together a message to the Tar Heel Nation beyond the 1993 season, looking forward? Dean Smith, he looks like he has a lot of guys who potentially could be great moving forward.
Yeah.
Are you ready to go? I know you're jacked up.
Absolutely.
You got the Tar Heel head on.
Absolutely.
Fire up the Tar Heel anthem. 93 national champs.
We did it, guys. We did it. Just back in December, we had just lost to Michigan. At the buzzer, Jalen Rose hits a bucket. And then they come last night. Chris Weber says he slept with a championship ring under his pillow, hoping for the championship fairy. Ain't no fairy, Chris. It's Tar Heel Nation. We bringing the championship back to Chapel Hill. I was on Franklin Street last night. Bucking naked. Yes, I was stark naked, running through the bonfires with the people. It was an amazing time. And you know what? That Eric Montross, he played very, very big, and he spoke very, very well. He might have a future in media. I could see him with a future in media, that Eric Montross. Oh, man, George Lynch, you played great. You were a beast out there. And Donald Williams. Dun-da-da-da! 25 points, 50 points in the Final Four. Donald Williams, you're the truth, baby. You're the truth. Let's go!
Next year's team, man, it could repeat. Eric Montross is a senior. Yeah. Donald Williams, a junior.
Yeah.
Here's my concern, though. You got, I don't know if freshman Jerry Stackhouse can carry George Lynch's load. Also, I don't really know what to expect from this Rasheed Wallace. Am I pronouncing that right?
Yeah.
I believe that's correct.
Yeah. Rasheed Wallace. Yeah. I don't really know what to expect from that guy.
Yeah, well, I mean, just from what I've heard, Rasheed Wallace will bring a lot of attitude to the team, so I'm really excited about that. Stackhouse, they say he's an athlete, like, so I'm really excited about seeing him.
But I don't know if he can dunk the way that George Lynch dunks.
Oh, man, I've heard some stories. I've heard some stories.
I was about to say, how are you watching Jerry Stackhouse?
No, I wasn't able to see him, but in my dreams, when I just visualize what's going to happen next season when we go back-to-back. And don't we have Dante Calabria coming back?
I think you do.
Oh, my God, Dante Calabria, he can really fill it up. That guy, he's going to be the X factor.
Yes, Robert.
I wanted to ask you, I know you're the biggest Carolina fan around.
Yes,
how do you feel about Jordan going to baseball? Is that a big move? Do you think he's going to be able to succeed there? I think he's done in the NBA, and I think he's done in baseball.
I think that Michael Jordan can do whatever he wants to do. I wouldn't be surprised if Michael Jordan went to a team like the Yankees or somewhere and became like a freaking World Series champion, home runs. I'm telling you, man, like whatever Michael Jordan, he's proven. Okay, look what he just did with the Bulls. 3 in a row? Like, come on. He's done with basketball. That's why he's just like, screw it.
Aaron, did you get a chance to watch this game last night? It was a late one. North Carolina taking care of Michigan.
Oh, man, it was great.
Yeah, I'm sure it was. Unfortunately, I was rewatching Michael Jackson's performance at the Super Bowl. I got it on VHS cassette tape.
Oh, nice.
What are you doing?
I just had to set my grandpa's up.
Oh, so you didn't even
watch the game?
Gosh.
That Michael Jackson is, oh, man.
It'd be a lot cooler if you did.
Oh, I get that reference.
You've seen the movie.
Oh, my gosh. What's the name of
I don't think anybody knows
the name of that actor, though.
Yeah, he's kind of new. My mom thought he was cute, though.
The
my
dopey fellow?
No, the guy that hooks up with it's like Matt McConaughey.
The old guy?
What the hell are y'all talking about?
You haven't seen Dazed and Confused?
I have not seen this Dazed and Confused. Is that recent?
Yeah, it's pretty good. They had this Matthew McConaughey.
McConaughey.
No, that can't. That's not it.
McConaughey.
Oh, McConaughey. That sounds right.
Is he Irish?
I don't know.
He's attractive. I know.
Hmm. Yeah, Robert's mom.
She's into it, I'm telling you.
Sounds like Rob's into it.
I mean, I don't know, man.
Also, shout out to my friends, Robert and Lynn Walsh in Clemens. Like, I just learned they're about to have a boy. Like, later this year. I think they're scheduled for August.
Oh,
Robert and Lynn Walsh.
I heard that kid, they had some problems because he was a little bit bigger in the baby region than they thought, you know.
just wanted to give a shout out to those folks later this year. That's going to happen.
And
while we're talking about class, man, like Jeff McInnes, he's in this next class. I know he's a great perimeter defender.
Yes.
Like, you're not breaking that guy's ankles.
No, you're not. Nobody is. Like, it's like I'm telling you. And like, only the better teams better come try. Like, I damn near wish a Wake Forest would try to do that. Yeah, right. Can you imagine?
Robert, did you even watch this game last night? It sounds like you weren't even that into it.
I didn't watch it.
Rob!
I'm sorry, man.
The Natty. What were you doing that could be better than watching Chris Webber travel and not get called in, burn the timeout he didn't have?
I'm going to be honest with you. I started watching the game, but then I had the remote control and it slipped down my oversized sweater sleeve and I just lost it in my sweater and couldn't find the remote.
I understand how that happens. I totally understand how that happens.
It's bound to happen.
Yeah.
Man, we got a lot of things to get to today. Coming up. This is going to be interesting. Pro football in North Carolina?
What?
No way.
It's never going to happen.
Never.
I got some information on this, and it's coming your way next on The Drive.
Wow, it makes me want to growl. Rawr.
Wow.
That was an intense show.
We were wrong about McInnes.
You were wrong about McInnes.
Yeah.
Yeah, you sucked it up. You were wrong about a lot of stuff.
Uh-huh.
I was right about that Montrose guy. I told you. Even back then, I saw it.
Also, shout out to Robert and Lynn Walsh and Clement.
Yeah.
That's a pretty big deal.
That is a big deal.
Can we check in on our good friend Arnold Schwarzenegger?
We can.
Yeah. He's had the best time during social distancing and self-quarantining. Like last week, he was in his hot tub.
His jacuzzi.
Jacuzzi.
let's hear the latest on what Arnold's up to.
Yeah. What do you like? Like some salad? You like this? Uh-huh. There you have it. More?
That's mine. Not what you want. Yeah. Are you sure? Uh-oh.
Yeah, that's him and his miniature horse. I don't know which one that is. Is that Whiskey?
It was both of them. It was Lola and Whiskey were both eating off his plate. I love these videos when he doesn't really talk. Remember last week it could sound like you were showering with Arnold. Now you could do it like you were eating dinner with him. And you're like, oh, this food is terrible.
What do you like?
Nothing. This is awful.
Got some salad?
I told you, dude. I'm not even hungry anymore. My appetite is gone.
He chews like a Terminator.
Can you close your mouth, Arnold? That's disgusting.
Been pouring so much money into local businesses the last few days. Like, every day I've made a vow that I'm going to buy food or something from somewhere local.
Hey, Josh, that seriously, all jokes aside, that is super dope.
No, that's what everybody
super,
should do.
That is super dope.
Like
you made that was a conscious decision or?
It was a conscious decision.
That was dope.
Well, I think a lot of people should do that.
I agree.
That's one of the bigger things I'm worried about. Like these national chains, Waffle House, which is closing a lot of places nationwide,
they're
going to be fine.
Yeah.
Places that might not be fine, the places that we like going to on Main Street in Winston-Salem, the places we like going to in downtown Greensboro, you know?
Agreed. No, I think that's awesome. Like I'm always for the local level, like from elections to dining in times of pandemics. I agree with you 100%.
How have you been passing the time?
Netflix. I've been watching Netflix. I've been actually able to work, so I've been going to work in the mornings, and then I've been just chilling with the kids, man. My daughter turned 8 yesterday. We had a birthday party. It was awesome.
What did you make of Cole Anthony announcing that he's not going to make an announcement?
It scares me. For the good of my soul, I need Cole to go on to the NBA.
Why?
Because, man, we're going to be so stacked next year, and I don't need anybody trying to figure out what's going to happen at the guard position if Cole Anthony was to stay at Tar Heel.
Well, you're saying you don't want Cole back?
Yeah, I would prefer – I mean, I love Cole, but I would prefer to not have Cole.
That's the craziest thing I've ever heard.
Is it?
It is.
It's like if you love something, you want to set it free. You want to see him. You want to see him have bigger things in his life.
I mean, we know they have –
we got the King of New York coming to Chapel
Hill. Armando Bacot, he's coming back. We know that.
Yeah.
Cole, there's as much as I love Caleb Love, or it's a pun there. That's what we're trying to do here. Mm-hmm. He's not going to be as good as Cole Anthony.
But the weapons around him will all of it will balance out. Like I don't want Cole coming and being a volume scorer with the team that we have coming back coming next season to the Tar Heels. Am I the only Tar Heel fan that feels like that?
Yeah, you sound like a loon.
Really?
I'm not a Tar Heel fan, so I can't really vouch for it, but you sound like a loon.
Can you get somebody to tag you on Twitter or something and see if I sound like a loon to Tar Heel fans?
WSJS Winston-Salem, WCOG Greensboro, WPCM Burlington, WMFR High Point are the signals that make up Sports Hub Tryon. I'm down with it. 336-777-1600 is the phone number.
Yeah, 777-1600. Call up and let me know if I'm a loon. Only if you're a Tar Heel fan. I don't want to hear from Dukes and are they still NC State fans?
Did you say a loon or a loan?
What did you call me?
A loon.
Loon, that's what I meant.
Okay.
Yeah, do I sound like a loon?
Well, no, I'm just saying both of those would have worked.
Would have they? Would they have?
Am I alone or am I a loon?
There we go. Am I alone and am I a loon?
336-777-1600.
I don't think I'm either. And I don't even know what a damn loon is.
Like a crazy person.
See, I
it's
don't
a
like
bird.
It. See?
Next hour, it's going to be Bill Voth from Panthers.com joining us. We have a revamped edition of BDOT's Grammar School.
Yeah, we do, because I'm sick of you trying to carry my segment.
30 minutes from now, we're going to do that. Let's figure out what's going on in the big headlines of the day in a segment we fittingly call the Big Four.
Sail with the pilot for the sea.
The Big Four.
Boy.
The Big Four.
Four.
The Big Four.
Four.
That's a big ten. Boy.
Here we go.
Number four on the Big Four. According to ESPN reports, Ndamukong Suh is expected to return to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I think Tampa's a top 10 team in the league. I think they are one of the NFC's three best teams. I still think the Saints are better. I still think, at this moment, the 49ers are better. But the Buccaneers are right there with the Dallas Cowboys, right there with the Philadelphia Eagles. Ndamukong Suh, this seemed like the right decision. He was productive after leaving the Rams in 2018. Remember, Suh was the guy they decided to replace Gerald McCoy with in the middle of those Tampa Bay defensive lines. So you lock him up, and on top of that, you got the great offensive weapons that come with Tom Brady, too. So give me a sense. Where do you think the Buccaneers belong in the conversation when it comes to the NFC?
I mean, it was a super upgrade, no question, but that NFC South is so stacked. I think it's still the Saints. I still like the Saints right there at one. You shake your head, no. I like the Saints at one.
Yeah, the Carolina Panthers are loaded.
No, they're the weak link, of course.
The Atlanta Falcons.
They look good. They're going to be great with Gurley. You watch.
Great.
You watch it.
Great. Did you watch Gurley last year?
I did, and that was the fluke season, not the season before when he balled out.
Knee tendonitis is not a fluke. It's what he's dealing with. It happens with running backs. And I know Todd. I like Todd.
Yeah.
Todd. But this Atlanta, it couldn't utilize Devontae Freeman, right? They let Tevin Coleman go to San Francisco. Same staff in place. I just can't buy into Atlanta. I can't do it.
I like the Matt Ryan, Julio Jones, and Todd Gurley. Maybe I just like the names on the backs of the jerseys, but I like the energy. But I got the Tampa Bay Bucs second in that division, and that's going to be a pretty tough division minus the Panthers.
Number three on the Big Four today, the number three story that is being discussed. This headline from Ross Tucker of The Athletic: Christian McCaffrey, please be smart about your future and hold out. He believes that with the Panthers parting ways with Greg Olsen, Cam Newton, and pretty much all the captains from last year's team, Luke Kuechly, he retired, Colin Jones, the special teams captain, that it's time to pay McCaffrey. He has 2 years remaining on his deal. You're a Cowboys fan. You dealt with this last year with Zeke Elliott, who wanted a new extension with 2 years remaining. Todd Gurley, who we just mentioned, got the contract that made him the richest running back of the NFL with 2 years left. And I'm sure the Rams regret that decision looking back on it. What do you think on the McCaffrey front?
I think McCaffrey should definitely get his money, but I don't ever advise or I never like when a running back holds out. It always seems like the year they hold out, when they come back, if it's because they don't get enough OTAs, they don't get enough reps, they always get hurt that following season. So I don't think Christian McCaffrey should hold out, but I do think he should get his money. However, there'll probably be no OTAs this season, so whatever.
Christian McCaffrey needs to get paid.
Absolutely.
Like,
no doubt about it.
When you see the way the Panthers
used him
last season, but looked at the way the Panthers just did Cam Newton
and Olsen.
It's a business. And McCaffrey, you got to look at it. The lifespan of a running back is different than other positions. You need to get yours when you're able to. Things like what happened with Cam should be a reminder of that. I'm never going to be the person that says this guy should not be holding out. Not in the NFL, where contracts are mostly not guaranteed and you can cut somebody, most of the players in the league, without paying any consequence for it.
I mean, but they're clearly trying to build around CMC, right? So he shouldn't even have a holdout situation, should he?
What makes you think that?
What makes me think what?
That they're trying to build around CMC.
Why wouldn't they?
Well,
the offense went through him. I mean, of course, they got a new coach with Matt Rhule, but I'm saying, like,
Joe Brady, Teddy Bridgewater, Robbie Anderson, these guys have ties to Matt Rhule and Joe Brady, but there's no sign that leads us to believe, oh, this is an offense that's going to go through McCaffrey. It probably should, and I think they should extend McCaffrey. But if they decided to trade McCaffrey, depending on what they get back, I wouldn't be stunned. I don't think he's untouchable by any means. After the Panthers moved off touchable commodity.
Were any of them in their 20s?
Trey Turner was in his 20s. 26 years old. Number two on the Big Four. Obi Toppin has announced he is entering the NBA draft.
Award segmentation 2020 Sentra versus latest in-market economy compact class competitors. See owner's manual for safety information. Availability of features vary by vehicle model, year, model, trim level, packaging, and options. Base models compared based on manufacturer's websites.
It's time for some straight talk. Some choices don't require a brain, like getting the new iPhone 11 with the ultra-wide camera. Do you want an expensive plan with a contract or an affordable plan with no contract?
Like I said, a no-brainer. Why pay more for the same network? Switch to Straight Talk Wireless and get a plan that's up to half the cost of big carriers. All on America's largest and most dependable 4G LTE networks. Straight Talk Wireless, everything for less.
Savings may vary. See straighttalk.com.
Providing you with the latest sports news, commentary, and analysis. Plus, tips on how to cheat at bingo.
Oh, 69.
Bingo! You're on The Drive with Josh Graham on Sports Hub Triad.
Watch out now.
It's time for B-Dot to take me to school. B-Dot's grammar school. As I'm not great with the urban vernacular. Now that Cam Newton's not a Panther anymore, I got nostalgic and thought about the time I asked Cam Newton about his drip, and he just laughed at me because I'm pasty white. I got glasses. It's not great. I'm around. I think I'm around urban settings quite often, just being somebody who works in sports. So I think this is something I need to be more equipped with. So we've started the grammar school, but B-Dot came to me with some changes that we can make to revamp the education, to make sure I learn more words to try and jumpstart the process amid social distancing and people being self-quarantined. Okay, how are we going to do this now,
B-Dot? It's simple. Usually I come in, I give you one word, and for some reason I felt like it was very easy. You would even know the words, and sometimes you would just want me to win, so you would act like you didn't know the words. And I didn't like that. I didn't like that at all. So I said, how can we switch this? Today I have five words, Josh, and you will be in a gauntlet. If you can get three of these words correct, you win today's episode of Grammar School. If you only get two or less, Jesus Christmas, then you fail today's class of Grammar
School. So I got to get three out of the five, but correct. We're also going to have Who Wants to Be a Millionaire-like rules where I have a couple of lifelines. There's somebody I can call. A mystery guest I can call who can help me out with one of the answers, or I can go to Robert and Aaron to give me two or four options that it could be, narrow down the options for me to try and figure out what it is.
So those are your only three lifelines, Aaron, Rob, and the mystery guest.
That is correct.
All right.
Let's re-enter grammar school.
Josh Graham has his own way of speaking.
In high school, he didn't play sports, but he did wear a helmet.
And just when you think it can't get any worse.
My English teacher wanted to flunk me in junior high.
Damn.
Thanks a lot. Next semester, I'll be 35.
Josh is going to attempt to learn B-Dot's vernacular.
I'm from the old school. I got a little street knowledge. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying?
It's time for B-Dot's Grammar School.
Welcome back to today's episode of Grammar School.
I brought you an apple.
Oh, thank you. Too bad I don't eat apples. Get that out of here. First word on the list for you today, Josh. Please tell me the correct urban definition for the word lick. L-I-C-K. Lick.
Can I get adjective or verb? Or noun?
A verb. Huh? What is Aaron saying?
Aaron's saying is a noun.
It's definitely a noun.
No, but it can be both ways.
It can definitely be both ways. Okay, a noun or a verb. The way in my mind I was thinking was definitely a verb.
Now he's more confused.
I'm gonna need to use one of the lifelines here.
On your first word.
You know what? Let's go to the mystery line. Let's just do that. I want to go use my one phone call here on the first one because I feel like Aaron saying it's a noun versus B-Dot saying it is a verb confuses me. So, our mystery guest, who is my lifeline, it is WRAL sports anchor Chris Lee, formerly of WXII. Okay, I only have 30 seconds with you here, Chris. the word I need help with is lick. They say it could be a verb or a noun. Can you help me out, Chris?
Oh, I can definitely help you out, Mr. Josh Graham. Listen, when you first came there to the Triad and you got your job with WSJS, the Sports Hub Triad, you hit a lick, my man.
That was a good sentence.
I hit a lick.
He hit a lick.
You could actually, you don't have to give me a hint. You could just tell me what it is, Chris.
It's almost like a come up, man. Like, you know, you just, it's a good situation.
Oh, your 30 seconds ran.
All right. Thank you so much, Chris. It's good to hear from you.
All right, man.
All right, there you go. That's Chris Lee. I'm going to say, yeah, it's like, it's a break. It's a come up, to use his word. It's just, yeah, it's a good thing happening in your life. Catch
that
a good
is
break.
Wrong. A lick is a robbery. A lick is a robbery. Yes, it
Damn
is a
it.
Noun, but if you get robbed, somebody, if you hit a lick, or you can get a robbery. Lick is a robbery.
Not good.
Next word for you, Josh. Woof, getting tough now. What does the acronym THOT stand for? THOT. What does the acronym THOT stand for?
The hell out here.
The hell out here. Here is an H, so that would be a thaw. Please give him the aunt.
Oh, you got it.
All right.
Yeah.
I'm not good at this. I'm 0-2.
Yeah, you're 0-2. Thought them hoes over there.
Can you say hoes on the radio?
I hope so.
You can. You definitely
Especially if you're a gardener. Hello. Yeah. Third word.
Also, let's not forget about Presbyterian's mascot. They're the Blue Hoes.
The Blue Hoes.
Hello.
Are they for real?
Yeah.
It's true.
That's fantastic.
Go Hoes.
Third word for you. What is lean? What is lean?
You know what this is, Josh. I know you know what this is.
I do know what a lean is, and I also know that lean, it's you put it in a cup. It's drugs.
Say it, Josh.
Like,
not just don't just think anything like that is just drugs.
Like Lil Wayne does a lot of lean.
Do you know what ingredients are in lean?
Is it scissorp? Is it purple drink?
Scissorp.
I think that counts.
Does that count? Are we gonna give him?
Give me that!
Man. I think that counts.
Give me that!
He's saying purple drink, Dot. But purple drink, scissorp, and lean are all the same thing.
Like he didn't give anything in here. Like in the action, he's just giving nicknames.
I know what it is. Come on.
What is it?
It's cough syrup mixed with.
There we go. That's what we're looking for.
I know. I don't know what it's mixed up with.
You're not gonna incriminate yourself.
Sprite, Jolly Rancher, and codeine. There we go.
Thank you,
Jolly Rancher.
I deserve a win. Can I have a sound?
Give him a. There we go. Good job.
I wasn't even going to give him a point.
He got a point for that. He got a point. All right. We got two words left. You've only got one correct.
I need to get the last two right.
Word number four. Bodied. If somebody got bodied, what happened to them?
There's two things I'm thinking about here.
Okay.
Like, you get bodied like someone stole your girl, but you also could get bodied like, oh man, you just got worked. You just got taken out. You just got made look the fool of.
Don't try to throw those out
and
then look
at
my face
expression.
He's trying
to get extra lifelines. He's like, you got to ask the teacher. You're like, what does this wording mean? Does it mean this?
I mean, all those are kind of the same thing. Like, you got worked, man. You got jobbed. Come on. You got bodied.
Is that your final answer?
That's my final answer.
Bodied is killed, Josh. If somebody got bodied, it means they got murked. Whether it's on the basketball court, they got dunked on, they got bodied. If somebody got shot around the corner, they got bodied. Bodied is killed, Josh. That
All
gives
right.
you your third X.
I
and
know.
Today, on March 25th, you get an F on your grammar.
Oh,
test.
Come on. I could still get a D if I get this last one right.
Okay,
last
not gonna
be,
one.
Maybe
not
pull
gonna
some
be.
Extra credit. I might look
Okay, up. We'll see. Here you go. Last and final word for you. What are bones? B-O-N-E-S.
No way.
Bones. F soon come.
Aaron just quickly dismissed me.
What are bones?
I don't even think he knew his mic was on. Just no way.
Would you like a clue?
Yeah, you still have. I guess Aaron gave him a hint already. He has one lifeline left.
All right, give me a lifeline. You guys. Help me out. Narrow it down to two.
I'll give you a hint that there are not options. This is not multiple choice. This is kind of fill in the blank. So It is a game that could be played with 2 to maybe 4 people, maybe even more than that.
I don't know the max on the people that can play in the game, but definitely at least 2.
Yeah, at least 2. And there, it has something to do with numerical addition, subtracting.
Good job.
When one thing happens,
oh my God! Don't give
one
another
after
clue.
Another.
Oh my God!
It is said that.
All right, that's enough clues from Aaron. Jesus Christ! Just wrap it up and put in a
dominoes.
Yes, it's dominoes.
Yeah,
bones are dominoes.
Dominoes.
2 out of 5 for Josh. I guess we'll give you a D plus for today, Josh.
Yeah.
Put that down in his grade report, please.
Oh, I mean, I'll put it on the fridge.
Yeah. A D today, March 25th. D plus for Josh.
I'm gonna try and integrate some of these words into this tease.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
If you maybe that's enough extra credit to get you to get a C.
Yeah. All right.
However many words you can use, we'll see.
All right. The places Cam Newton could play are dropping like bones.
Mm.
If there are 3 places that if he's playing quarterback, that offensive line will get him bodied.
Mm.
But there are 3 others with an assist from Robert that would
hit
a lick.
I move you up to a B minus.
Hey.
Hey.
This is...
What is this?
The Drive.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
You dig it?
Oh, God.
With Josh Graham on Sports Hub Triad.
It was really neat seeing what the Panthers did yesterday, that tribute video to Cam Newton that was on Instagram, about 3 minutes long. And it started with him getting out of an Escalade or whatever SUV it was and meeting with security for the first time after he was drafted, then going into Bank of America Stadium, into that press room for the first time. And when the doors opened, you see some writers, many of which aren't covering the team anymore, but some familiar faces. We had Joe Person on the show yesterday, but I also saw our next guest as well, who was, I think at the time, working in TV before starting a blog that then he parlayed into working with the Carolina Panthers. It's Bill Vogt of Panthers.com, now spending time here. What's the best way you can explain Cam's impact on the franchise you work for now?
Relevancy. Ron Rivera had that thing, and I think it got lost as a cliche. I think it was in 2013 and maybe went over to 14 a little bit, be relevant. And Cam is what made this organization more relevant than had ever happened before. So one of the stories I give is, Roman Harper or Kurt Coleman, they used to host these like players way table type things once a season. And on the last one, 2-3 years ago, like Luke and Cam had never shown up in the previous years, but Luke showed up this night on the last one, and it was like a big deal, and the crowd there was like really excited. And then an hour later, Cam showed up, and it was off the wall excitement. So Luke was great, Christian McCaffrey's great, they're stars in their own right, but Cam transcended and made the Panthers a national conversation. Whether it was good or bad, they were in the conversation. And then another analogy that I've made a lot is that for the Quail Hollow Golf Tournament here, when Tiger Woods used to come, that transcended. And so, but like all my golf friends, they would be like, oh, you don't need Tiger to come. They still got like Ricky and Rory to come. I'm like, that's just for your little community. That's just, it's very niche. And so like, that's kind of like Panthers without Cam. Like that's, the Panthers are big in the Carolinas, but you add Tiger to the event and it transcends. And then my mom wants to know about it. My mom doesn't care about Rory and Ricky, but she cares that Tiger's here. And that's how I kind of felt like with Cam. It's like the stars that the Panthers have had in the first 25 years, there were some good stars, but none of them was a star like Cam was. And that he's the cliche tide that raises all ships or something like that. That's who he was.
What do you know about the physical that took place on Monday?
I don't know anything other than I don't even know why reporters say sources. They should just be like agents and stuff like that.
Yeah, especially when you see the line that essentially sounded like it was straight from Cam's Instagram. You see the line, oh, he's hungrier than ever. Who does that come from?
I mean, why are we just saying sources when 97% of this stuff comes from players, sources, or agents? But anyway, I don't know much about it, but I'm skeptical of what doctors, even if team doctors were able to look at players right now and someone like Cam, and what Instagram stories are really going to show. How is his shoulder going to be holding up in November and December after so many, the torque of so many throws and getting hit on that shoulder? Him walking on a treadmill right now saying I'm hungry, do I know his shoulder's going to be able to still throw the ball properly in November and December? So all this, and again, even if a doctor clears him right now, and it wasn't this crazy world we're in where teams can't examine him, I still think a lot of the league understands that they don't really know what Cam Newton they're getting until you get later into the season and seeing if he can hold up.
It's Bill Voth with us here from Panthers.com. He's on Twitter at PanthersBill. I find it interesting you're talking about the shoulder. You were one of the first ones, I think, to talk about, hey, even when Cam was still playing in 2018, you were saying, yeah, he's not throwing the ball deep. And you were one of the first ones to say, this is a problem. I have no doubt that in modern medicine today that a 30-year-old's foot who hasn't had many foot injuries, it's likely going to heal. And that aspect's going to be back for Cam, if I had to guess. Are you more concerned about the shoulder than you are the foot?
Absolutely, and that's why I was talking about the shoulder and not the foot. If people paid attention to the video that Cam's team put out after his surgery and what a doctor said, specifically what they did in that surgery, it wasn't like, oh, it's fixed and then you don't have to worry about it for the rest of time. It was, well, this is the second procedure now done on the shoulder, and essentially it's kind of there's some things that could flare up when you're really, now maybe it won't flare up, but it could flare up. And so that, I think that's the thing that a lot of teams they understand that. They understand the medicals more than I think fans do. So, again, if Cam's throwing it time and again and time and again, is that shoulder going to hold up? It very well could, and if it does, then I still think he can be one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL, but you just don't know. And how many teams want to invest in something that they just, we don't know.
You covered the team as a reporter and for television and also in print with video as well. And then now you've been given more behind-the-scenes access working with Panthers.com. So I'm interested in what your favorite off-the-field story involving Cam is, whether it's in the locker room or something at practice or outside of Bank of America Stadium altogether, because a lot of people who work with the Panthers, photographers and team writers like yourself, they've been sharing great stories that I don't think the general public or even the general media got a chance to see, that side of Cam.
I should have prepared for this because you did tell me you wanted to talk Cam stories. There was, the one time I truly got to sit with him just by myself was maybe 2017. And he was just telling me, I was like, Cam, you just win one title in a lot of the, because Cam distrusts adults. He distrusts the media. He distrusts adults. What you see with him with kids is who he is. He is a big kid, and that's why he's so great with kids. Him and adults don't mesh very well, and some of that is on him and his slowish maturity process, I think, because he was sheltered in a lot of ways from having to deal with a lot of this, but also he had been unfairly treated in a lot of ways too. So, so we were talking, and I was like, Cam, this you just need to win one, and a lot of criticism will go away. And he said, the criticism will never go away as many titles that I win as I win, and that's fine. But the thing that he said he's most proud of, and that he doesn't think he'll ever get enough credit for, is how he's paved the way for future black quarterbacks who can act proudly black. And of course, I can't pretend to understand, to know him at that level, but I understand. I tried to understand what he was saying there, and I do understand it. I think the black quarterbacks that came before him were expected to act how quarterbacks act, and Kim didn't want to do that. Especially, he was very proud of being a black quarterback, and that is something that he hasn't gotten a lot of credit for. And I think him saying that to me in a setting like that, I just kind of learned something about him, and I saw a different perspective of him. And yeah, he wants to win on the field, but there was also a part of him that really wanted to pave the way for future black quarterbacks to act however they wanted, whether they wanted to act as what we think quarterbacks should be, or if they want to act in a different way. That's what he wanted, to make it easier for the next ones coming behind him. And I think people who hear this, they can say, oh, there's others that have done that, and you can shoot all sorts of holes into that if you want. But I do think that he's paved the way for people to be themselves, and really it doesn't even have to be a black quarterback. I think a lot of NFL players, we've seen this a lot in baseball, where baseball players have had a hard time breaking out because, well, you have to follow these unwritten rules. In the NFL, it's everyone has to fall in line. And Cam doesn't want to fall in line, and he doesn't want to have the people who come behind him, again, whether black or white, to have to always play within this singular box. And he thinks he's made a dent in that, and I do too.
His style of play was different. His outfits were different. The way he handled things, it was different. What do you think? And it's been met, as you mentioned, with a lot of criticism. He's a very polarizing athlete. Bomani Jones, he was with us last week, and he said there's no quarterback working in national TV or national radio that moved the needle more than Cam Newton. Not Tom Brady, not Pat Mahomes, not Peyton Manning. You run through the list. What do you think the greatest misperception is among Panther fans, or even national fans who follow Cam in the NFL, of Cam? What do you think the biggest misperception is?
That's a really good question, but before I get to that, Bomani's absolutely right. And so I have a friend, Andrew Catalan, who does games for CBS. He's on, I think the fifth crew. And the rare times that the Panthers would get CBS games, I'd be like, hey, do you have a chance to get this game? And he said, absolutely no chance. Because if Cam Newton was in the game, there's no way you get, the fifth crew. You're always going to get, crew one, two, or at worst, three. And now take Cam away, and yeah, Andrew's like, yeah, I might get more Panthers games now. And so that's what he did, and that goes back to the beginning of our conversation. I don't know if there's a big misconception. I just think that in the criticism that he's faced, he's had a part of it, and also everyone else has too, media, other adults, fans. There is a wide swath of fans that were never going to accept him for some reasons. We know why. But other reasons is just because he never was going to be that quarterback that we expected our quarterbacks to be. And by the way, we're talking like he's dead, by the way. I don't think he's dead. I just think he's currently unemployed at the moment.
What do you think his next step after football is going to be? If it's not right now, we were talking to Jordan Gross about this. He's a guy that after the Super Bowl, he did the Nickelodeon show. We saw him do a game show appearance. We've seen him with the YouTube channels. I think entertainment might be the route. I joked yesterday, and I actually kind of explored it, not as if it was going to happen, but something I think ESPN might take a look at. Hey, if the market's not great for Cam, give him a phone call and try to lure him out of football the way you did Jason Wittenwood. It would certainly qualify as the splashy hire if that's the route you want to go, but with Cam, whether it's tomorrow or 5 years from now, what do you see as his next step after football?
Oh, yeah, definitely producing in TV, movies, stuff like that. The guy, when he turns it on, he has a charisma more than any other athlete I've ever been around. But with that, so you'd think maybe he'd be good on TV, but we also know that he kind of gets a lot of phrases and cliches mixed up. So I fear that if he ever did do TV, what social media would do to him and the phrases that, and he could potentially be self-deprecating about all that other stuff. But still, for Cam's sake,
I just don't know if being on TV would take to all that kindly on the social media reaction to that. So I think running a production company, which he already has, and making that bigger, and moving to LA and being more of that icon and entertainer, which, you know, some people roll their eyes at first, but dude, go for it. Go and do it. I think this all has to end sometime in the fall with him with the Chargers. It just makes so much sense to the Chargers, and it would make so much sense for Cam and perhaps what he could start carving out for his post-football career.
Makes so much sense to me as well, and I know we're not the only ones saying that. Bill, I know it's probably been a very interesting couple of weeks. It's been an interesting couple of weeks for everybody across the country, but particularly when it comes to the Carolina Panthers as well, it's been a fascinating 10 days or so. Bill, thanks for spending the time.
Thanks for having me.
Want to become a real sports fan? Leave it right here.
It turns everyone it touches into raging psychotics.
All things sports. Well, sometimes. On The Drive with Josh Graham.
This might be the craziest Sports Hub time machine we've done to this point. Sometimes in sports radio, you just got to take some swings. And this definitely qualifies as an example of that. We've done the 93 National Championship for North Carolina when Chris Webber called a timeout that he didn't have shortly after traveling, except that it wasn't called. We figured out what our radio show would have sounded like after that in 93, after Coach K was hired in 1980. We've also explored what the show would have sounded like after Kobe Bryant was traded by the Charlotte Hornets, after Austin Rivers shot, after the Panthers lost the Super Bowl in 2004. Today, we're going to go all the way back to 1919 and figure out what the Drive with Josh Graham would have sounded like when Babe Ruth was traded from the Boston Red Sox to the New York Yankees.
It doesn't matter when you get here, just what time.
Back it up, back it up.
Let's go.
What would it sound like if the Drive with Josh Graham were here for some of the greatest moments in sports history? Today, we find out.
Yeah!
Let's fire up the Sports Hub time machine. 1919.
And you
What do you mean, keeping these boys in there when there's baseball to be played? 4 times 4 is 16.
Yeah.
3 strikes, you're out. That's our arithmetic.
All right, you do the pitching and I'll do the hitting.
Low curve, low, and the Babe swings. It's a long one going out toward right center. Stengel's backing up against the wall. He can't get it. It's in there. Another home run for the Bambino.
Welcome back into the show. I'm not sure if you've heard, but George Herman and Ruth, he's just been traded. He's just been traded in exchange for cash. A whole lot of cash, I say. $100,000 worth. Robert Walsh, think of all the Sox can do with 100,000 G's. Think of all the Gaspers that can buy and all the hay burners you could put into your backyard, put into your driveway with $100,000 there.
You know what I say? I say he's a bimbo anywhere and good riddance.
Oh! If I'm being completely honest, if I'm being frank, I don't get why everybody thinks George Herman Ruth is the big cheese. He's hardly a blue nose, if I'm being honest. That's what we do here on The Drive with Josh Graham. We be honest, we be frank, we tell you exactly how we see things.
And this is exactly how I see it. He's a cake eater, Josh.
Oh!
I'm not sorry about it.
Yeah, he's more...
I'm about to go ankle down to the firewater store.
He's more of a drugstore cowboy, if we're being honest.
Now I have absolutely no clue what that means.
He's more fond of the giggle water.
Oh, okay.
And
that
Hooch.
Makes sense.
And this southpaw thrower, it's going to be easy to replace this kind of player. Like, I don't know how the New York Yankees think this is going to go. Good luck winning with one Babe Ruth.
I'll take the cash.
Yeah, those dewdroppers. They have never won a World Series, and we've won three of the last four. See, won four this entire decade. Some say he's the Sultan of SWAT. I'd say he's the Sultan of Squat.
That's a good one.
Yeah. Well, let's see what's going on in news today. Robert Walsh, what do we got? Aaron, what are you doing over there?
I believe I'm just over here being a dingbat.
Oh, you're just being a dingbat hanging out in the control room? What do you think you're doing? We're trying to do a radio show
here. Before you get out of here, Aaron, butt me really quick. Can't do the news without a good old stogie.
Oh, what kind of cigarette you got over there?
Well, hey, you mind your P's and I'll mind my Q's. Let's
get
to the
that
news.
That sounds just fine.
Some exciting news today. A boll weevil monument has been raised in Alabama. You might want to go down there and check up, but make sure you got your cheaters on so you can look at it real nice and close. Also, I've got a gripe with the boss man. It's the day after Christmas. What are we doing in here working so hard? It's December 26th. I got a family. And finally, Felix the Cat has dropped a silent movie. I've got a little snippet of it here for you guys to play for you. Just 1 second. Here we go. Look at that little cat go. Isn't he fantastic?
Oh, just fantastic.
I'm glad we could blow it up here on the speaker. I don't know if it's going to come over radio, but basically Felix is a little cat here, see? And he's got a problem with that mouse. You're going to go see it at your movie theater or your drive-in.
I have an adorable cat myself.
Oh, you do? What's that little fellow's name?
Her name is Winifred.
That is an absolutely awful name for a cat.
Stop it.
Almost like naming Ed a horse. But that's not
I
be
love
a thing.
Winifred. Sometimes I call her Winnie.
You. Now listen here. I think that's a little over the line to be calling it a cat Winnie. Hang on. I think I'm getting a call from Alexander Graham Bell. Give me 1 second, please.
All right. We actually have a telephone call number if you would like to chime in on this particular program. 336-777-1600 is the telephone number. If you are equipped with one of those devices, you could call in on our radio program. The big news being George Herman Ruth being traded from Boston to those New York Yankees, those do-nothing Yankees who have never won anything at all. Nothing. Expect to win with this southpaw left-handed pitcher. Ooh, hasn't done much, if I'm being completely frank with you.
Well, I don't care whether you're Frank or a John, but I just want you to do your job. Mostly, we got a telephone call in here from some blue nose telling us to stop the time machine. I said, Bushwa, I don't know what you're talking about. We're trying to do a timely radio show.
How did you
here.
Not get to the biggest news today? Everybody's affected by this pandemic that's going on right now.
Oh, yeah, my mom has scurvy.
Oh, no, I wasn't talking about scurvy, even though that is a very serious deal.
I had
in
to go buy her
time.
A bag of limes.
No, I'm talking about the 1918 flu from last year, Robert.
That's
still affecting people. Oh, you better sneeze somewhere else. H1N1, it's a serious thing, Robert.
I'm not saying it's not serious, but I'm also not saying it's...
Wash your hands! Stay in your home! Aaron, do you have anything to add to all of this?
I'm just trying to find me a flapper with a nice set of gams.
Aaron Gabriel, he be changing radio. First African-American radio host in all of America.
Groundbreaking.
Congratulations.
I'm a trailblazer.
Coming up!
God bless America.
Coming up! Next on this show! Oh, what else? There's this thing called... The National Football League? That people think is going to be a big deal. I'll tell you why it isn't. Next on The Drive. Aaron.
I don't have a lot of experience with 1919 black. I don't know what we were doing.
No, you're a trailblazer.
Pretty sure it was not good.
We danced all around.
Yeah. Yesterday, I didn't think it could get more awkward.
Did Harvey Weinstein's birthday?
Probably not. I don't think it could have, but we found a way. It's
quite the progressive radio station WSJS was back in 1919.
Yeah, we got a text. Please do more bleep from 1919.
Yeah, no thank
you. This Black Sox scandal's a real problem.
What is the movie this voice is we're doing? It's like, what you want, the moon? I'll throw a lasso over it. We're all doing that same
just
voice.
That.
Yeah, like the same guy.
Yeah, it's what we're trying to do.
It's terrible.
Don't stop.
It makes me laugh.
I like
else.
Jimmy Stewart. That's what I do.
I'm really about to go smoke me a Jasper. And that's no jive, turkey. Are those even from that?
Let's hear from Joe Buck. Joe Buck's doing play-by-play of just random things in the middle of a quarantine. Here he is describing an exhilarating marble race.
It looks like a four marble race. Oh, we've had an accident, and now the turquoise ball is behind. The turquoise ball, the little ball that could, is now trailing in third place as now we've had a lead change up at the top as the more reddish ball is out in front. Look at the turquoise ball, though, just will not give up. And this turquoise ball now is running fourth, now is running third and making a move. Making a move and following the same path as the two in front, now in second and trying to get now back out in front. The turquoise ball, unbelievable. There's only a little ways to go left in this race. The turquoise ball, not to be denied on this day, in this sand, during this pandemic. It's now all turquoise ball, just laughing at the competition. If this was Marshawn Lynch, the turquoise ball would be backward and jumping into the end zone. Turquoise ball in an absolute runaway.
Marble racing sounds like a lot of fun. The turquoise ball just got off to a great start, and then it paced itself, finished things strong. Good analysis there by Joe Buck. Do we also have Joe Buck with his wife? Joe Buck in his house doing play-by-play as his wife takes care of his child? Do we have that?
This is called negotiation, ladies and gentlemen.
Do you want to watch?
Michelle on the left is trying to prepare dinner. Wyatt on the right fighting back a yawn, dressed like
a Blippi?
Kind of a half-assed Fred Flintstone.
You do want to watch Blippi?
And he wants to watch Blippi, folks. Oh, and he's hit his mom. He has hit his mom. Mom is playing it up. Wyatt is crying. All hell is broken loose inside this house. Quarantine day 7.
The best part of that clip, ESPN posted it saying, Joe Buck describes his wife playing with his son. When his wife has a name, it's Michelle Beisner Buck. She works for ESPN as a sideline reporter, as a feature reporter for the NFL. Like, she's not a nobody, Michelle Beisner Buck. Former Bronco cheerleader as well.